right, Merry Christmas. I hope you picked up the outline as you came in today. And there's also a sheet there on the table. We'll be sharing this with the church over the next week. We're calling all the church to join the pastors for a day of fasting and prayer. This little sheet will give you the outline, the schedule. I know some have to work, but perhaps at your before you go to work, and then at lunchtime, and then in the evening, you could still join us in fasting and you can pray. But if you have the time and you can spend the day doing this, then this will be your guide. And I would encourage you to join us and participate in this very special time at this very high day, high season in the life of the church as we celebrate and come to think about the Lord Jesus' first coming and His second coming. So we'll be talking more to the church about that. Today we finish our time thinking about living like Jesus by talking about loving God. Loving God. And I'd like for you to turn to two places for in the Gospel of Luke. First of all, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. So all of these habits and all of these things that we've talked about don't have any real purpose if we don't really love Jesus. So this today is really what is the driver of all that we do in our Christian life. As we seek to follow Jesus, we do it because we love Jesus. And so we read these wonderful words, very special words, in Luke chapter 7 of a woman who loved Jesus greatly. A woman who loved Jesus greatly. Luke 7, 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." Money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume." And here's the Lord's statement I want us to see. "For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Today we must ask ourselves, as we think about how much the Lord has done for us, how often does that move us to love Jesus? Do you love Jesus because you recognize how great His forgiveness has been for you? Well, that's the challenge. All of us must ask ourselves today as we sit here, do I love Jesus? Do I have in my life a desire to love Jesus? Like this woman with such tenderness, coming, weeping before Him, anointing his feet and his head with this fragrance, the beauty of her love. The two were forgiven in the story, But the one who was forgiven the most loved the most. I don't think there's any comparison when we all think about our sin and our forgiveness, whether you sinned a lot or whether you sinned a little. Coming to know the Lord Jesus in my life as a 9-year-old boy, my sin was as great as any wicked, godless, drunkard, lifelong sinner. Sin is sin. The sinfulness of sin is not the amount of it. It is what it is before God. So I ask you today, as we come to this time of the year, do you love Jesus? Now we go over to Luke chapter 10 and we read these words that are famous also. Luke chapter 10, I've given them to you on the outline, beginning in Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. Luke 10:25, and a lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. But wishing to justify himself, he said, and who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers. They stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said, go and do the same. So here we learn the principle from the Old Testament law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. But notice, loving God is always connected to loving our neighbor. Some people say, well, I love God. But do you love your neighbor? Loving our neighbor expresses and reveals that we love God. This seems to be a disconnect in the church today because we have such great opinions about people and the way they live and their views and their ideas. We dismiss people. But every person living on the planet Earth matters to God. Jesus died for all human beings, not just a select few. And so because of that, we have our neighbor always before us. And we learn from John as he took these lessons deeper, how can you say you love God if you hate your neighbor? So this becomes a very important principle for us as we think about loving God. Loving God is not only how we respond to God, like the woman, beautiful. That's the way we worship and adore and praise the Lord. We come before Him in praise and adoration and humility, great humility for all He's done. But then, like this Samaritan, we love our neighbor who falls into all kinds of circumstances. Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. There are a lot of reasons why if we went around the room, we could say, I love the Lord because. But today, let's think about, for our time together, how much Jesus loved God and how much Jesus loved sinners and how much Jesus loved disciples. And then we'll talk about believers and our love for God for a few moments on our outline and hope to give us some challenges from that. So we notice here, as we talk about the Lord Jesus, he says, and I've given it to you on the outline, John 14:31. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Notice, how does the Lord Jesus describe loving God the Father? By obedience. It's what we talked about last week, the habits of obedience. The reason why I wanted to connect obedience with love for God is because they go together. We see the depths of our love for God based on whether we're going to obey Him. And all of those habits that we looked at were tied to the commands of God. Taking up and studying God's Word, praying, worshiping, serving, giving, living our lives in simplicity. You know, all the things we talked about, fasting, all these things that are part of our life, we do as an expression of our love for God and obedience to the Word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bible and go over to John 17. And because this is the great priestly prayer, high priestly prayer of the Lord, and I want you to observe how the Lord Jesus expresses His love for God the Father by how He obeyed God. And I've tried to identify and give you some phrases, but I want you to read the verse with me. Notice, Jesus loved God the Father with all of His heart, soul, strength, and mind. Just what the law says. Jesus fulfilled the law completely. He loved God the Father with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His strength, and with all of His mind. So we read in verse 1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come, glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. He loved God the Father and made it His greatest ambition to glorify God. Pause. If I love God, I will make it my greatest ambition to glorify God by the way I live. Notice we read on, verse 4. I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work which You have given Me to do. He loved God the Father, accomplishing the work that He gave Him to do. He obeyed God. He did the will of God. We love God when we do the will of God. And the most important part of doing the will of God is to be saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and then to live our life like Jesus. That's what we've been talking about. That is our means and our expression of doing the will of God. We all have different jobs. We all have different backgrounds, training. We have different family backgrounds. But we all come from that to be a part of the family of God to accomplish His purposes on the earth of sharing the gospel as He's told us to do. And so the Lord came and accomplished His purpose. He showed His love to God by doing what the Lord told Him to do. Verse 21, that they all may be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. He loved God the Father, living always united to Him. The only time we don't know about it is when the Lord cried, when He was having the sin of the world put on Him on the cross, why have You forsaken Me? Lord Jesus lived, and this is John 17:21. The Lord Jesus lived in perfect unity with God the Father. And so as we obey the Lord, we live in unity. We're united to Christ. We abide in Him. He abides in us. These are the teachings the Lord gives us that we learn in other parts of John's gospel. He loved God the Father also, verse 24. Notice He says, verse 24, 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom You have given Me be with Me where I am, so that they may see My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. He loved God the Father knowing that God the Father loved Him eternally. I can love the Lord because I know the Lord loves me. I know that I was loved before I loved. You were loved before You loved. You were loved before You loved. Never forget the order. You didn't love God so that He'd love you. He loved you so that you would love Him. And the Lord says that here. He knows, and He lived His entire ministry life knowing the eternal love of God the Father for Him. This helps us now. This is a clue on how to live the Christian life. When you're going through the hardest day of your life, when you have the greatest trial, when you have the greatest trouble, when you face the greatest difficulty, God loves you. That's not just a phrase. That's just not some trite saying. That's a profound truth that ought to grip our minds and cause us to be like this woman, humbling ourselves before God. You are loved by God. What else? There's nothing more mysterious and unimaginably beautiful than the love of God for us. And the Lord Jesus lived in the eternal love of God the Father for Him. Then He says in verse 26, last verse of the chapter, "And I have made Your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love," please notice how his prayer ends, "so that the love with which You loved Me may be in them and I in them." He loved God the Father in order that we could experience the eternal love of God. Now there are some very powerful things here that if we had the time we would spend, we'd just stop right here, because this is holy ground. For us to see in the Word of God and be privileged to read 26 verses of the Lord's Prayer to God the Father, reflecting His absolute love for God the Father and obedience to Him. But the Lord loves sinners, didn't He? We just saw it. We just saw it in Luke chapter 7. I won't have you turn back there, but it's interesting. After the Lord says all of that to Simon about the one who's been forgiven the most, loves the most, He then says, He turns to this woman, who by the way was a notorious sinner, in verse 48 and says, "Your sins have been forgiven." You remember when you first came to the Lord Jesus and you experienced the forgiveness of God? Do you remember this morning when you got up and you said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins"? I hope you did. Because if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. By the way, I'm quoting the Bible. I'm not making that up. I'm a sinner, Lord. Every day I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And so we come before the Lord and we see He says to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And then He goes on and says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That's for all of us. Now you live your life being forgiven of your sins so that you can have eternal life. And every time you fall into sin and stumble, guess what you do? If we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive us. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Aren't you glad? That'll warm your heart, because you've been forgiven by God and forgiven by God and forgiven by God and forgiven. Every day until we leave this planet and go to heaven, we experience and live within the love of God because He fears us. And so we love Him. Jesus loves sinners. He ate with them. He associated with them so that He might share with them the greatest of truths. Remember Zacchaeus? "I'm coming to your house today." The man who hadn't planned for Jesus to come to his house, but He came anyway. And who all was there? A bunch of thieves, criminals, government crooks. That's who came. Let's say it like that. Government crooks showed up at Zacchaeus' house. And the Lord was right there with them all. But the Lord also loves His disciples. There's something special about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you of this in John chapter 13, verse number 34. If you'll look there, John 13, 34. Here we see these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, and they'll help us as we now move to thinking about how we love God. But notice John 13, 34, "A new commandment I give to you. Love one another." Notice, "even as I have loved you." Even as I have loved you. So while God loves me, and as He has loved me first, I believe and follow Him as my Lord and Savior, and then I obey Him. I willingly obey Him. So the Lord Jesus loved God the Father. He loved His neighbor. He loved sinful neighbors, and He loved His sinful disciples who were being cleansed and became followers of Jesus, forgiven of their sins. Praise the Lord. Now, believers love God. I say it that way because this, if you don't love God, you're not saved. That's the old Baptist. I'm just plain Baptist preaching here. If you don't love God, you're not saved. If you don't love God, you're not born again. If you don't love God, you love yourself. If you don't love God, you love the world. If you don't love God, you love the things that the devil lays out, a world system. You like the order of it. You like the structure of it. You like power and being self-driven. Do you love God? Only those who are born again love God. We have to talk to our people about this in the church. I have to remind our people in the church, loving God is a response of being a child of God. Children love their parents. They love them. The same is true for all of us. I'm asking you today now to measure. Where are you? Where are you in loving God? Well, number one, believers are loved by God before they love God. Let's go back to this principle. Now, I've given you a lot of these verses. I could have given you some others, but these are just some for you to think about. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See it there in your outline, Romans 5:5. Okay, this goes back to what we've been talking about. When trouble comes and there's difficulties and tribulations and we're growing through them, that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 5. He says, and the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our hearts. Perhaps you've experienced it. I hope you have. Every believer will. When you're in that hardest place and you seem like you're all by yourself, all of a sudden you sense God's love for you. That's coming from the Holy Spirit. That pouring out of the love of God, you see, this is what the Holy Spirit does when you get saved. The Holy Spirit pours out in your mind the fact that I'm now loved by God. And it begins to change you. Notice what else we read here. This is from John, 1 John. See how great a love the Father has shown to us that we would be called children of God. Now what does it mean to be loved by God? I'm called a child of God. You know, we know the Lord talks to the Jews about who didn't believe, and He said, you're children of the devil. People in this world are children of the devil or children of God. They're not all children of God. Of course, every person born into the world is made in the image of God. That doesn't mean that every person in this world is a child of God. To become a child of God, you must be born again. And so here we're reminded of the great blessing that we're called the children of God. And then notice 1 John 4:9. By this, the love of God was shown to us. God sent His own only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Think about that today. We've seen the love of God expressed to us in the coming of Jesus. And what are we doing at Christmas time? Why do we teach our children? Why do we use Advent as a method of... Because we're pointing our children and grandchildren to this, that Jesus was coming. The promises were made by the prophets. And one day Jesus was born in the manger. And the glory of God's love was expressed in that baby in that manger. Look at Jesus in the manger before you look at Him on the cross. Look at Jesus in the cradle before you see Him on the mountain ascending to heaven after the resurrection. He's in the cradle. He's in the manger. It's what the choir was singing so well this last Sunday. But believers love God with their entire person. Now look at this. I've tried to give you some insight on this. Letter B. Believers love God with their entire person. How do I love God with my entire person? Well, I love God with my heart first. What does that mean? Well, we know that heart represents the inner person. Heart really represents our mind and our ability to choose, have some idea about our choices and our thinking primarily. We love God with our heart. We trust God with our hearts. We trust God with our minds. That's what you had to do. You heard the gospel and you believed it. You trusted the Lord. Now notice Psalm 28:7. My heart trusts in Him. That's how you love God with your heart. You trust God. All right, I'm pausing now. Do you have some great thing in your life? You don't know how you're going to get through it? You don't know how you're going to deal with it? Well, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Trusting God reflects that you love God with your heart. You give Him your heart. You're willing to trust God with the hardest circumstances of your life. They love God, believers, with their soul. The soul, my emotions, my desires, my passion, my will, all of me, not just my mind, as I'm going to talk about in a moment here, not just my heart with trust, but I give my all to, Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. As she heard the news about being the mother of the Lord Jesus, that great privilege, she exalted the Lord with her soul. And then believers love God with their strength. If you diligently, now this is the law now, Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I commanded you. Look, here's the point. If I love God, I'm going to be careful about obeying the word of Jesus. Listen, that means I'm going to read the words of Jesus and I'm going to obey them. I'm going to be diligent about it. I'm going to pay attention to it. I'm not going to just gloss over it and say, well, you know, we're all saved by grace. Like a fellow said to me, Pastor Mike, I'm saved by grace. The Lord knows I'm not going to be perfectly obedient, which was his way of saying, I don't want to be interested in obeying Jesus. I just want grace. That's terrible. That's a lie. That's not truth. We're saved by the grace of God so that we might obey Him. And so we show diligence in it. That's why we come together. We study God's Word carefully and we teach all of our people on Sundays and all the times we meet. What are we doing? We're bringing them to God's Word to say, here's what God's Word says. And I must obey it. I must be diligent. This is what it means to love God with your strength. You put your effort into it. That's what these habits are about. There's something we do as a part of the process of becoming like the Lord Jesus. Then notice they love God with their mind. We could have talked about a lot of things here. I could have given you, in fact, some of you are taking notes. You ought to write beside this also Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Alongside there of Colossians 3, because it's setting your mind on things above, but Romans 12 says, you know, I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, wholly acceptable, you know, remember, which is your spiritual service. But then it says, do not be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love God when I get my mind off of all these things that the world can pull me into. And I cause part of it by what I watch and what I listen to. You must determine what you're going to separate yourself from and not listen to because it affects your mind. But believers love God with their entire person. Believers love Jesus as they obey Him. See, this is the big mark of obedience. Look at these verses now. Whoever keeps His word in Him, the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. You want to know how God's love is perfected in your life? Based on your obedience. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Notice, that's the progression in 1 John. This is the love of God, we keep His commandments. Somebody says, I love God, that's why I love to worship. We are commanded to worship. I love God but we love God and we express it by obeying Him and all the things that He's caused us and told us to do. Notice, His commandments are not burdensome. He who has my commandments, Jesus said, and keeps them is the one who loves me. See, now that you can't get any plainer than that, John 14:21. He who has my commandments, we all do. We have a Bible. Every one of us. We have Bibles. I've got lots of Bibles. So do you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, a keeper of God's word. You know, there was a men's movement a long time ago, years ago, called the Promise Keepers. The point of it was to keep the promises of God, to obey God. And he who loves me will be loved. Now look at this. Look what happens. This is right here on your outline, John 4:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. God loves the whole world in that he would send the Lord Jesus to be the Savior of the world. He loves the world in that way. He loves all sinners in the world that way. But he loves his people. He loves those who obey Jesus as children of God. He loves those who obey Jesus. And notice the Lord says, I will disclose myself to him. A relationship comes to be because of our willingness to obey Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is God dwelling inside of us. As a result of obeying him and believing in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, all of God comes to dwell within us. Now you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. You're a different person. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. There's a progression from John 14 through 16, these verses, and you should meditate on these a little bit. There's something here. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came forth from the Father. You do know that the vast majority of the world has dismissed the fact that Jesus was the Son, eternal Son of God. They don't believe that. He was just a Jew who had some good things to say, and he got mistreated by the Romans and the Jews. He perhaps was a prophet of some kind for the Jews. The world is dismissive of the Lord Jesus. But you cannot be saved without believing that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, sent from heaven to earth. This is at the heart of what it means to be a believer. We are those who believe that Jesus Christ came forth from God the Father. That's why he's called the eternal, only begotten Son of God. Believers also live in the assurance of God's love. There's a great verse, Jude 21. I put it there on your outline. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay, what do we got to do in this room? Okay, I got that little one back there. So the rule is, keep yourself in this area when we go somewhere. Notice how well he's been doing that today. Keep yourself right here in this area. By the way, it's always good to be around kids. It reminds you just how we are toward God. Did you know that? Lord says do it. Okay, I kind of did it. Halfway did it. Keep yourself in what? The love of God. That's a great verse. For all of us, in all of our days, keep yourself in the love of God when it's all fallen apart. Keep yourself in the love of God when it's the best days of your life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God through all the seasons of your life, from your young years to your old years. Notice, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And then, of course, what did Paul pray for the Ephesians? It's down there at the bottom. We've prayed this as a church. Now, I'm praying this for you too, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. By the way, that includes a whole lot of people who've been believers for thousands of years following Jesus, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Notice breadth, length, height, depth. The four dimensions, not the three dimensions, the four dimensions of the love of God in Christ. The four dimensions. What an amazing thing. Breadth, length, height, depth. These dimensions. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. That's it. When you come to discover the unbelievable truth that you are loved by God, it overwhelms you. It amazes you. It makes you like a woman who came to Jesus and anointed his head and wept at his feet because she was greatly forgiven. Now, What are some steps to improving our love for God? Well, there are a number of things we could say, and I could have lengthened this, made this list a lot longer, but I think these are sufficient for us today. Number one, seek to obey Jesus Christ in every area of your life. So perhaps at this time of the year, you ask yourself, am I being obedient in all the parts of your life? You know, you can list them all. Am I being obedient to Jesus Christ in my home life? Am I being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in my friendship relationships? Am I being obedient to Christ in my church relationships? Am I being, if you are still working, am I being obedient in my work relationships? Is my life a life of obedience to Jesus? And we evaluate it. And we evaluate the quality of our obedience. Do we love little or do we love much? Well, the basis of loving little or much is based on what you do and how you obey Jesus. Second, confess your disobedience when it occurs. That's the beauty of 1 John 1:9, which is one of the all-time favorite verses of all Christians. Why? Because we all sin and we fall short of the glory of God. Even after we get saved, we find ourselves back in a place where we shouldn't be, doing things we shouldn't do, saying and going places we shouldn't go, and we must stop and confess our sin and say, this is not what you would have me to be. And then what about this thing of neighbors? Well, if you're going to love God, loving your neighbor shows how much you love God. The Samaritan story is the story of a stranger loving a stranger. Are you listening? What did John say in his letter? What great honor is it if you love your buddies who love you? There's no love in that. That's not. But you see, we love those who are strangers. Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, John just asks it as a question. How does the love of God abide in him? How does the love of God abide in him? When someone comes across your path who is in need, what does it stir up in your heart? Let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. How do I know if I'm born again? And how do I know that I know God? By the way I treat other people. By the way I treat other people. And of course, living in a loving relationship with Jesus Christ is based on our obedience, as we've said. We've come to know, look at the language in 1 John 4:6. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. That's what a Christian says. I have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. That's how I can make it every day. Christ died for my sins. I have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. There's an old preacher, Richard Baxter. I love this quote. It's a good one. When we love God most, we are at our best, most pleasing to God. And our lives are the sweetest to ourselves. When we are confident and we think about God the Father's mercies and love for us, we will love Him even more. Now, I wanted you, as we're finishing, to write down three phrases that I want to give you today just to think about this matter of God's love for Jesus and Jesus' love for God the Father and God the Father and God the Son's love for God's children. All right, just write these phrases down. They're worth going home today as we're concluding and thinking about. Are you ready? Number one, God the Father eternally loves God the Son. Think about it for a minute. God the Father eternally loves God the Son, who came the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father eternally loves God the Son. God the Father eternally loves God the Son. Number two, God the Son eternally loves God the Father. Just the reverse. God the Father eternally loves God the Son. Number two, God the Son eternally loves God the Father. There's no gap, there's no break. The eternal God loves God. God the Father eternally loves God the Son. God the Son eternally loves God the Father. Third phrase, God the Father loves the children of God. God the Father loves the children of God because they love God the Son. God the Father loves the children of God because they love God the Son. God the Father loves the children of God because they love God the Son. God the Father loves the children of God because they love God the Son. And finally, the children of God love God the Father as they love God the Son. The children of God love God the Father as they love God the Son. And now, the children of God love God the Father as they love God the Son. The amazing statement that we are now united to Christ, who is united to God the Father. We are united together in a loving relationship with the eternal God. I want you to think about this today. It's hard now. We got tinsel and presents and cooking and family. I know what I'm preaching against the wind right now. I know what I'm preaching against. Listen to me. The most treasured experience you have forever will be your eternal loving relationship with God that you have here and that you will have forever in heaven. Think about that today as we go. All right, our hymn for the day. Nothing better than this when we think about the love of God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endures, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Amen. That's enough for me. Merry Christmas.